Hello and welcome to Let's and Bites. I'm Dorothea Witzke, and we will be talking about books. What you were listening to off the top there is something I haven't listened to in a little while, and that was Marion's theme from Robin Hood. I really, really enjoy that particular one. Anyway, what are we talking about today? What is on everybody's mind? What book is everybody talking about ad nauseum? The Da Vinci Code. Okay, everybody, let's all sit down and repeat after me. Fiction. F-I-C-T-I-O-N. Fiction. It's in the fiction section. It's not real. And frankly, Leonardo da Vinci's painting, while beautiful, of the Last Supper, is a painting painted more than a day after the event. It is not a photograph. Nobody knows for sure that this is exactly the way they sat. Nobody knows what color robes they were wearing. Nobody knows any of that. People, it's fiction. And as stories go, it's an amusing little tale. The version of the book that I have is huge because I have one of the special illustrated editions, which shows you all of the little pictures and things and what have you. So, it's a very, very pretty book. And the book, it's a well-written, page-turning mystery book. What it is not is real. I have been very disturbed by all of the fuss about this book. Because, as far as I'm concerned, it's, my own personal beliefs aside. But the bottom line is this is a piece of fiction. And everybody needs to remember that and take a step back. And with the movie coming out, the problem that I have with the way that this book has been marketed is that there are people out there who are suddenly going to believe this. And I think that there is something really wrong with feeding into people's paranoia. There's just something really, really wrong in my heart, in my gut about this. If they're like I said, fiction ain't real. These people just, are... But an amusing book, if you're looking for a little something light, just bear in mind, it appears on the same shelf as Lord of the Rings. And while Lord of the Rings is probably one of my favorite books of all time, it's still in the fiction section. And I'm not looking in caves trying to find me a hobbit. Although Elijah Wood's eyes are very lovely. And if I could find me an Aragorn. But difficulty. I'm having some difficulty with the way that this book was marketed. It's disturbing, very, very disturbing to me. I don't know. I don't know. Much ado about nothing. Because it's just really even a mildly amusing book. Not even the best suspenseful book that I've ever read, as far as that goes. There was a book that I read many, many years ago called Mirage, and it was a fictional account of how the Israelis got the Mirage jets, and to be perfectly honest, it was more suspenseful than this one. It's like I said, mildly amusing little book. If you're looking for something to read this summer and you happen to be at the beach and, you know, want to be able to look up and check out and see what the kids are doing, this is a good one. And now for a little musical repast just for you, because I'm done ranting about the Da Vinci Code. This is for you. And there you have it, folks. What did you think of that? Interesting little blend. Further on to my rant, just because Mr. Brown needs to know. Yeah. You know what? You are so just a member of the pack. Greg Loomis, the Pegasus secret in the Da Vinci Code. Well, it can't be any secret to anyone at this point. I may as well tell you all. They claim that really the Holy Grail was carried within Mary Magdalene and that she was carrying Christ's child. That Christ had married her and they'd had sex and had a baby. And, you know, for those of you that don't buy that, you know, I'm in complete agreement. Now, Greg Loomis, well, he's claiming that really what the Knights Templar are hiding is Christ's bones. Because he didn't go to heaven. He didn't ascend. So it was, you know, it's this. And once again, it's a book. You easily get into it. Starts with a firebombing. It's a good book. As good as the Da Vinci Code. Same section of the bookstore. Fiction. So let's all keep it in perspective. The only thing that I find a little bit disturbing is the number of books that are now, you know, coming out. I just turned something off that I shouldn't have, that are now coming out of all of this. If it's not one, then it's another. And, you know, pardon me. It's just so last week. Let's hear a little more music now that I'm done ranting about these silly books. Here you go, folks. This one is called The Garden of Bells and Flowers. And it's Oliver Schroer and Camino. go. What did you think of that? Now we're going to talk about a book that I find a breath of fresh freaking air. John Lawrence Reynolds' Shadow People, Inside History's Most Notorious Secret Societies. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jessica at Key Porter, for sending this book to me and getting it to me so quickly. I got an email from her, and I sent her back an email saying, you know, if you, I'm doing a show on this, and if you can get the book to me quick, I'll review it. And, you know, all I can say is he takes a real look at this. His titles are interesting. I like all of it. He talks about fools, fears, and fanatics, the assassins, the Templars, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Priory of Sion, Druids, Gnostics, Kabbalah, Triads, the Mafia, Wicca, Skull and Bone Society, which apparently has Geronimo's skull, secret societies in popular culture, critics, alarmists, and conspiracy theories. When does the paranoia make sense? I found this a very insightful book. I learned some good stuff. He quotes William Blake, "Cruelty has a human heart and jealousy a human face, terror the human form divine, and secrecy the human dress." And what I really liked about this was the afterword of Demons and Baloney. Let me read a bit. "I set out to write this book with the hope, if not the expectation, of discovering centuries-old conspiracies among the world's power elite. I hoped to meet shadowy men in subterranean caverns, manipulating the world's currencies, concealing proof of extraterrestrial visitors, or confirming the location of Christ's bones. I sought evidence of brilliant minds dealing with eternal questions of the cosmos, or engaged in accumulating wealth and power over a grand scale of time and geography. For the most part, all I encountered was ill-defined paranoia expressed in juvenile babble, supported by sporadic tales in the mainstream media, stories designed to titillate readers and build circulation rather than deliver real news or knowledge." Thank you. Thank you, John Lawrence Reynolds. Thank you. I consider that the final word and the definitive word on this particular subject matter. Case closed. You know, I'm going to say that it's probably the only time you're going to ever hear me rant on this way about a book, but it just disturbs me. It disturbs me when people use the media, and all they're really using the media for, folks, is for you, for book sales. Every time, and I hate to say this, even me has added a little ka-ching to this man's pocket and didn't want to do it, you know, because I don't think he deserves any more of my money or, frankly, yours. Here's a little more music. Okay, so maybe that wasn't really music, but there you go. A brief other noise interlude. Anyway, I always talk about a children's book. Horrible Harry and the Drop of Doom by Susie Klein. Not a big fan of Horrible Harry. I don't find him as engaging as, say, Junie B. Jones, which is kind of unfortunate. But you know, it's a cute little book. Gives a little moral. Horrible Harry. The last day of second grade has finally arrived to celebrate Song Lee's having a party at the local amusement park. Everyone's talking about their favorite rides. Harry brags that he likes all the rides, as long as they're scary. So his sworn enemy, Sydney, dares him to try the park's newest ride, the Drop of Doom. Harry agrees before he realizes the ride has one horrible thing he hates. If Harry can't face his fear, he'll be doomed to live through third grade at Sydney's mercy. It's a decent book. Something for you to read with your child and engage in conversation about it. Anyway, folks, that's it. I'm looking at the clock and I'm going, wow, where does the time fly? If you need to know anything about any of the books that I've spoken about today, you can drop a line to me at litsbytes, that's LITSBYTES, at yahoo.com, and I will tell you everything you need to know and anything, some of the things you don't necessarily want to know about these books. I'll tell you where you can get them or whatever information you need. This is Dorothea Witzke, closing the chapter on another Lits and Bytes.